a lot of the, writers, actors, studio executives, pretty much everybody in the business was a little bit spooked by the WGA and they didn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Welcome back to Inside Outlook. My name is Christine Kim and I'm one of the media producers here at Asian Outlook. This episode is a part two to our previous Inside Outlook episode regarding the writer's strike. We will be talking with a special guest, Tyler Vendetti, to hear her thoughts on the strike as a development producer in Hollywood. So welcome to the podcast. First, can you tell us about yourself?
Of course. So my name is Tyler. I am from the East Coast. I'm from the Boston area. And I moved out to LA in 2015 or so to start my entertainment career with NBC Universal. So I was an NBC page for about a year and a half. And that gave me my first exposure to the industry and sort of led me to my passion for writing and for being in development. So that's kind of how I got here. And I've been here going on 9 years now.
And as a development producer, as you mentioned, how did the writer's strike impact your work in terms of sourcing new projects and developing the already pre-existing ones when the strike hit?
So I'll start with the existing ones. So when the strike started back in May, I should say I work for ITV Studios America, which is an independent studio that's part of a larger network. So if you've heard of ITV, we are a network over in the UK, and we have a studio division all across Europe and also in the US. And so I work for the scripted side of the US studio division. And what that means is, we make US content for US buyers. Sometimes those are global buyers, but most of our writers are part of the union. They are all WGA. And so that means that we are beholden to WGA rules and regulations. And so when the strike hit back in May, any, existing project that we had going with a writer, a showrunner, or, when SAG jumped in, actors were also included in this. Any of projects that we had with any of those kinds of folks, we basically had to bring to a grinding halt because we couldn't communicate directly with the writers as a studio. That was against the WGA rules. We couldn't communicate with the actors, and the only communication that we could have if we needed to talk to them for any reason was through their managers or their agents. And even that was a little bit dodgy because I think at the time, a lot of the, writers, actors, studio executives, pretty much everybody in the business was a little bit spooked by the WGA and they didn't want to ruffle any feathers. So even if it was technically okay to talk to a studio exec, maybe off the record, people were still uneasy about doing that. And so basically all of our development that was existing projects, we had to put on hold, if there was any development work to be done with writers or actors, which is most of the projects that we had going, because a big job as a studio executive is reading scripts and giving notes on existing scripts and trying to attach actors or trying to attach writers. And we couldn't do any of that. So to segue into sort of the other part of your question, the only thing that we could do during this strike time was sourcing new projects, reading IP, whether that's books or comics or listening to podcasts. That was kind of our only avenue, the only thing that we could do during the strike, because for the most part, it didn't involve talking to any writers and didn't involve talking to actors. But there were two kind of loopholes even within that. The first being if, one of the authors that we were interested in, let's say there's a book that we wanted to option, if that author happened to also be a screenwriter and that author happened to also be part of the WGA, we could not talk to them. So even if we were interested in a book and we wanted to option it, if they were WGA eligible or they were in the union, we had to wait to express our interest on a lot of those projects until the strike was ending or seemed to be ending. But then the other problem that came with that is that pretty much every company in the business or most companies in the business were in the same position as we were. So we were not the only ones looking for IP during this time. Everyone in Hollywood was looking for IP. And so it created a really competitive marketplace, but that was especially difficult for us as an independent studio, who has maybe less resources and less money than somewhere like an Apple. And so if you think about it, let's say there was a book that we were interested in and Apple was interested in the same book, Apple could offer $1 million as the purchase price and completely outbid everybody. It made it really difficult to get IP, and it also sort of raised raised the bar for how much even IP was costing and just made it tricky all around.
And then the next question I have for you is, can you discuss any challenges you faced in maintaining momentum on projects during that strike period? I know you mentioned some stuff before with like how you had some pre-existing ones and then how you could only technically look at new projects, but if you could expand on that a little bit more.
I mean, so it became tricky because we suddenly had to stop talking to our writers and stop talking to our actors. Projects that we were in the middle of, or projects that we were about to take out to the marketplace, you know, projects that had pitch decks made for them or had the actors attached, or, you know, we had scripts ready to go to send out. We couldn't really touch a lot of those materials for many, many months. And so what happened with some of our projects, and it's totally natural, but it was just sort of a, you know, a victim of the strike, is that we would create pitch decks or we would create scripts for some of these projects, and then we didn't talk to the actors or the writers for 3 or 4 months. And when we kind of came back to the table, they had lost a lot of their passion for some of these projects, because when that momentum is lost, you know, it's hard to re-spark or reignite that love for it, and you know, those ideas that you had for it. And so that became a really tricky thing, is trying to re-engage a lot of these writers and bring them back to the table and get them excited again for all of these projects that they had sort of put on the shelf for a few months. So that was very tricky. But you know, the other part of it too is even the projects that we were able to work on. So for example, during this time, we were trying to find some alternatives, you know, to some of the projects that had come to a halt. So, for example, we worked with a production company based out of Mexico City. So a lot of those productions, they're not beholden to WGA rules because they're not part of the union. And so those were, you know, projects that we could actually talk to writers on and could actually talk to actors on. But even with those, we kind of hit a wall at a certain point, because once we had put together those projects with the writers and the actors, and we had to take them to market, we went to a lot of our buyers, our, you know, our Netflixes and our Apples and Amazons of the world. And we were like, hey, we have these projects that are non-WGA, you know, like you can 100% listen to them by the existing rules. Are you open to it? And even some of these networks, they were so fearful about, again, ruffling feathers within the WGA that they wouldn't even take those pitches. And so the problem that that created is that we had to hold all of our pitches until the strike was over. But everybody was sort of doing the same thing. And so all of these networks were sort of hit with this waterfall of pitches and scripts the second the strike ended.
And then going back to more of like the project stuff, with like the pitches that you did see that were non-WGA related, did you see like a shift in content or theme at all? Did you feel that there was a specific influence from the strike?
I would say during the strike, the only projects that we could pitch, again, were non-WGA projects. Those didn't necessarily have a particular theme or subject matter. I think it was just any project that, you know, could be filmed or could be engaged with was viable. But again, like I said, even some of those projects were not being heard. I would say the biggest shift in the type of projects that we were seeing came after the strike, when the dust was starting to settle. There were two kinds of projects that we saw people leaning towards when the strike was over. The first were projects that were budget friendly, because if you think about all these studios and production companies and networks, during the strike, they lost a bunch of money, which was the point. That's kind of what the writers were banking on as a bargaining tool. But as a result, you saw a lot of these networks come out of the strike really hurting financially, and they began to readjust their mandates to look for projects that weren't going to break the bank, that they could very quickly pick up and start producing content just to have some stuff on the air for a while, just because they were hurting financially and they needed to sort of keep the wallets a little bit closed. So that was the first kind of shift that we saw, was this the shift towards more budget-friendly projects. But the second shift that we saw, you know, once we started taking all of our projects out, is that, again, a lot of these companies, you know, because the strike ended so suddenly and all of these companies that had put all of their projects on pause were suddenly running back to the table, places like, you know, Apple and Amazon and Netflix and HBO Max and all of these networks had hundreds of people coming to them all in the same week, being like, all right, the strike is over. Here are all the projects that we've held on to for the past 3 months. Do you want to hear any of them? And the problem that created is a lot of these networks became overwhelmed with the number of projects that were being presented and kind of told us up front. They were like, listen, we have so many projects that we're now being forced to look at. If you have a project you want to bring to us, you should make it one that has undeniable talent, like something that is your best project. Because if we're looking at 1,000 projects every day, you want to make sure that yours is standing out. Otherwise, the chances of you selling anything to us right now are very, very low. And so what that did for us is it meant if we had a slate of, 10 projects that we were bringing out, we sort of had to really cherry pick the ones that we thought were the most viable or the strongest and hold on to some of the projects that we thought were maybe less strong until a little bit later once the dust had settled a little bit. So those would be, I would say, the two biggest changes that we saw is sort of a shift towards budget-friendly content and then a shift towards a lot of these networks and platforms requesting that you just bring them the biggest project that you have.
And then, so with the strike only recently ending, do you think that you're satisfied with the results as a development producer? And if not, what would you have liked to see included in the agreement and all of that?
I will say, so my background is maybe a little bit different from some development folks, just in that I actually started in writers' rooms. So I was a writer PA on a couple of shows before making the leap to the development world. So what that means is that I got a lot of insight into kind of what the writers are feeling about all of this before I got the studio side of it. And so for me, I do tend to have a lot more sympathy for the writers and their causes. And so coming from that point of view, I was actually really happy and satisfied with the results of the strike and kind of what the WGA was able to get out of it. I mean, I think there were a lot of really huge gains in terms of minimum staffing requirements that made it so that you had to fill a writer's room with a certain number of writers and give more opportunities to lower level writers to make, the jump to producer, executive producer, and be able to climb the ladder. So I think that was huge. The other really huge thing for me, I think, was sort of the viewership transparency that a lot of these platforms, especially streamers like Netflix, were sort of forced into divulging, because viewership numbers affect residuals for writers, and it's a really big part of how they make their living between shows. And so I think the gains that were made there were, ginormous. So for all of those things, I think they did a really incredible job at the WGA. In terms of needs improvement or anything that I wish I would have seen, there actually isn't a lot. I think they did a pretty tremendous job in getting, most of the things they asked for. The only area that maybe you could have seen a little bit more developments in were something like the AI protections, only because I feel like it's a really powerful tool that even since the end of the strike has gained more prominence in the media, and we have no idea where it's going to go or how it's going to be regulated. So I think maybe there could have been more discussions around that, but you don't know what you don't know. And at the time, I think those conversations had just begun, so I can't blame them too much. But in the future, I think we'll need to see some more conversations happen about AI and its involvement in the writing world.
And then to wrap things up, can you just talk about how your life has changed since the strike and like it ending recently?
Yeah, so I am in a fun position where the strike has really impacted me because our company laid a bunch of people off as a result of the strikes. But it's not, just our company that is going through this. From all of the other industry folks that I have talked to, most companies are contracting in this way because of all the lost wages that happened during the strike. So I would say the biggest change that I'm seeing and, how it's affected me personally is I am forced to sort of take a step back from the industry for a second and wait for the dust to settle and to see what shape the industry is going to take in the coming months and how I can fit into it again or if I can't. And so that's kind of where I have left things off.
Thank you for talking to me at Inside Outlook and the rest of Asian Outlook. Really appreciates your guest appearance to talk about the writer's strike. Thank you so much once again, and thank you for listening to all of our listeners. Bye!